This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
With this week's teaching time, we're going to start out with a scripture passage, and it's from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. So be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's return. Think of how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the ground and is patient for it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the Lord's return is near. I think most of you will probably remember the satirical calendar I used a few months ago, you know, the one showing the rest of the year would be equally as disastrous as the first few months. Some authorities are now saying we're in the second wave of the coronavirus outbreak. Some say we're not. The politics of this issue are predictably divisive. Then there's the upcoming election, with the left saying that the right is a hate-filled group of racist right-wing wingnuts. And the right says the left is a bunch of communist revolutionaries masquerading as politicians. Does this sound familiar? So for the average Christian, many are saying, Lord, any time now, when are you coming back? Lord, now seems like a really good time because things don't look too good. It's getting so contentious and even so violent that I don't know how much longer we can hold on. It's getting way too close for comfort, and I'm getting just a bit too afraid for the future. It doesn't look so good, so Lord, don't you think now is a good time for you to return? Please, Lord, now. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. Get me out of here. Help! Okay, does this sound familiar? I know that I've heard people actually speak like this. Whether they were serious or not about the goofy side of it, I don't know. But they were very clearly believing that it was time for the Lord to come back. So, we need to add to that a verse from 1 Peter. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, "For the culmination of all things is near. So be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of prayer." He adds a little bit of balance to this here. He says, yeah, it looks like it's time for the Lord to come back, but if that's true, be sober-minded. Have some self-control. Be level-headed. Pray and put your trust in the Lord. That's what Peter was trying to say there. So, regardless of what we think about what's happening now, let's get real. As we do approach what seems to be the end of all things, and as we observe what appears to be an increasingly intense life situation, it's normal to think that we're reaching the point, or possibly that we may have gone past it, that it's time for the sound of the trumpet signaling our exit from this troubled planet. Some of us may be getting really nervous because the Lord Jesus seems to be taking way too long and that he's making us sweat during a continued and ongoing waiting period. It appears as if we're near the edge. Now, to illustrate this, I remember watching a series of movies about 20 years ago that were supposedly depictions of how things would be immediately before and following the removal of the saints. The movies were pretty detailed about the conditions in the U.S. and portrayed Christians as the haters. And for what it's worth, the present conditions in the country are, from my perspective anyway, eerily similar to what was in those films. So yes, it looks for all the world like we're teetering on the edge, one breath away from the end. But then again, is our perception simply a result of us viewing this present condition from our limited perspective? Think about that. Are we parsing each verse that deals with the second coming with our agenda and time schedule in mind? Or shouldn't we look at this scenario, frightening as it may be, and admittedly it is, from the Lord's perspective? And can we all admit that God has a different time schedule than we do? At the same time, it's reasonable to wonder just how much more we can endure. It's reasonable, if we want to appear to have a wider perspective, to talk of how much more the world can handle. I mean, with corruption in many of the world's political systems, a teetering economy, flash shortages of consumer goods, schools opting for remote learning, which tends to be harmful to the students, wildfires in the West, a record number of hurricanes in the Atlantic, because by the way, yesterday, Hurricane Delta hit the Louisiana coast, because the National Weather Service ran out of names. They went through the entire alphabet, and now they're using the Greek letters. So that was the fourth one of those. And plagues of locusts in Africa, that really happened. Out of control diseases and even volcanic eruptions, and we actually are starting to wonder, probably with what seems to us to be good reason, how much more, Lord? For many, it really looks like the Lord is taking his own sweet time and fulfilling all of those second coming prophecies. Yet, people have been saying that the Lord's tarrying and he's waiting way too long. People have been saying that for nearly 2,000 years. Believe me, the Christians in the first century who were suffering the persecution under the Emperor Domitian and the others were absolutely certain that it was time that Jesus should come back. To offer some balance and perspective, let's quote Peter again, this time from 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some regard slowness, but is patient toward you, because he does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So Peter provides some very badly needed balance here. The first thing the apostle tells us is that the Lord isn't really that slow in fulfilling his promise. The next phrase is vital. It's a matter of our perspective. To us, it looks like the Lord is sitting back, watching the calamities, and that he's not doing anything. We even tend to get angry with why the Lord looks like he's dragging his feet. So why is the Lord delaying his return? Well, Peter tells us he's delaying his return, at least from our point of view, to give more of the people on this planet an opportunity to hear the message of salvation. Yes, the road to the kingdom and the gate of heaven are both very narrow. Jesus told us that. He told us that a relatively few or low number of people in proportion to the world's population will ever find the way of salvation. Yet God doesn't want to lose anyone who will actually hear his word and say, "Yes, Lord." He desires people to repent. He also knows those who are his and who will come at the appointed time. So he's holding out the invitation until the last one who will come actually answers the call and says yes. Thus, all of this waiting we're enduring, all of this calamity we're watching happen before our very eyes, the disasters, one right after another, is not because the Lord is being contrary. He's not punishing us for being naughty. He's not giving us a time out or slapping our hands with a ruler. He's still plumbing the depths of humanity to draw the lost to himself. That's a kingdom perspective. God's out there still reaching out to those lost who will hear. And he knows who they are. And he's waiting till the very last one says yes before he brings this to an end. Now, let's be assured. Jesus will return. He promised that he would. He will come back for his own, but he will not do so 1 second sooner than is necessary. He will return when the time is right, but that right time is the right time according to the divine priorities of heaven. So, what are we supposed to do in the meantime while we wait and watch one calamity after the other take place? What are we supposed to be in the meantime while we watch violence in the streets, roars and rumors of wars, volcanic eruptions, swarms of locusts, wildfires, rioting, and people being shot in the streets just because they have a political view contrary to the one held by the shooter? What are we supposed to do while we wait for all of that? Well, we wait trusting the Lord. Let's look at this from an agricultural perspective. Think about the farmers who watch their crops wither and look like they're dying off, but also who patiently, or not so patiently, wait for the rain. The rains eventually come. The crops eventually sprout. But yet, the farmer doesn't take his combine to the fields until there is a crop to harvest. To put in the sickle before the plants have yielded their bounty would be foolhardy, would it not? In fact, it would be injurious to the farmer's efforts to have a harvest if he or she takes to the fields and harvests the stalks, the vines, the trees, the plants, before they bear their produce. So the farmer waits. He believes and he expects that there will be a harvest because he knows that he's done his part to see the plants, the stalks, the trees, and the bushes bear the fruit. The rains came, the fields were watered, and he has no reason to get antsy, doubt the process, and act before it's time. In the same way, we have to trust the Lord to come and save us from this incredible mess in his perfect timing. To come too soon would be like the impatient farmer. So, are we laboring for the Lord? Are we sowing seed? Are we pulling the weeds? Are we watering the plants and nurturing those tender stalks for growth? If we are doing the work of the farmer in our respective fields, then what's left for us to do is to wait for the former and the latter rains. The rains will fall or be withheld according to the hand of the master farmer, according to the perfect will of God. Furthermore, if we can trust the Lord with our eternal destination, then we can surely trust him for our present circumstances. We can trust him for today. We can trust him for tomorrow. So like the farmer, we need to be like James wrote, "You also be patient and strengthen your hearts." We don't need to allow the times, the circumstances, nor the world's tumultuous condition to do a number on our minds and wreak havoc for our souls. We need not let the world's condition get us down and mislead us into doubting the Lord's promises. We should never let the world tell us that Jesus will not return or cause us to doubt his word. As we eagerly and anxiously and sometimes nervously and fearfully wait for him to come down here, he's also eagerly waiting for us to arrive up there. He's the one who paid the price for our ticket to heaven. He's wanting to see us at his banqueting table so he can be the master host at that great feast. Yet, Jesus knows he cannot return until the time is right. So while we wait, let's go about doing his work. Let's serve him faithfully so that through the seed we might sow, we might bring to pass the very real possibility that there will be more people at that feast. And why? We need to wait and do the work of the Lord because the coming of the Lord is a sure thing, so we need to be faithful and trust him with his promise. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.